Hi, I'm here with Team Fuel Eco. Did I get the name right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. Awesome. And they have just advanced to the next round of the Imagine Cup Finals with an amazing project. But before we get into what the project does, let me get the team to introduce themselves.
I'm Scott Colleen. I'm a third year at Queen's. I'm in computer science. I love doing mobile development and yeah.
Cool.
My name is Will Thompson. I'm also at Queen's studying computer science and physics. And I love exploring the data.
It's a good combination of skills. Yeah. I like that. It's, mm-hmm. You've got the mobile plus the data skills. So could you just, for anybody watching this video has no idea what your project is. So could you describe the basic project and what you guys have built?
Sure, yeah. So it's a universal Windows app that connects to your car via Bluetooth to your onboard sensors. And it delivers real-time and historical fuel-efficient data. So you can see your fuel efficiency as you drive. And the goal of it is essentially to help people become more aware of their gas consumption and show how they can improve their driving habits.
If you want to show the adapter?
Yeah.
Ah, cool. So that's the actual adapter.
Yeah, this is it right here. These are available for about $20 off Amazon. And they slot into your car about 2 feet from the steering wheel on any car since 1996.
All right, so that would actually fit in my car. I'd be able to go downstairs, plug that into my car. So how does that connect to the application?
So it connects by Bluetooth. And this takes readings from your car, and our app will then talk to the adapter, and we'll get readings from your car, and you just have to start driving. Through our backend API, our app will pick up what car you're driving, and it will present you with a gauge, and as you start driving, you'll see a score and a gauge that correlates to your current fuel efficiency rating, and
So do I actually look at this while I'm driving, or do I look at this after my drive is over, or both?
Well, yes, both. While you're driving, we make it very subtle, about the same as a speedometer.
Oh, okay.
So it's not going to be very distracting, but you can just glance to it every 10, 15 seconds if you like. And afterwards, we also present a detailed summary and breakdown across multiple different categories like city driving, highway driving, and your route efficiency.
Your route efficiency. So is this going to be, am I going to be able to use Fuel Eco to actually figure out the best route to get from A to B that actually uses the least fuel for my car?
That's exactly it. As you take different routes, you'll be able to compare and contrast the different fuel economies based on the time you spend idling, the distance traveled from point A to point B.
Okay, and now is that the only way it's going to help me with fuel economy, or are there other ways that is that the main way it helps me improve my fuel economy, or are there other ways I can use the data I get from this application to improve my own fuel economy?
We also have something that we're in development right now called FuelCo Insights, and what we want to do is we'll be analyzing routes, people's routes, using Azure Machine Learning, and we want to provide suggestions to people once it's found a better route for maybe a regular commute they're doing, a regular business travel they're doing, and provide like alternatives where you can get a better fuel economy and therefore save money and reduce your emissions kind of thing. So you can use this to kind of go more in depth with analyzing your everyday trips kind of thing.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Can I use this to improve my own driving habits? Like, are there things, like aside from deciding whether to take, and this is great for me, I actually live out in the country, so I have choices. I can go down the highway, or I can take some of the back roads. So it'd actually be really interesting to find out which of those is most fuel efficient. But are there things in terms of the way I drive my car? If you're one of those people who tends to take off as soon as that light turns green, will this help me figure out what sort of driving habits I have I might be able to improve?
Yeah, it has really good real-time feedback, so you'll see right away and hopefully be able to identify a problem very quickly. So if you're sitting at a light and you slam on the gas really hard, you should see your score shoot down. And we think that it should be easy for people to identify problems very quickly. You'll notice it as your score goes down, so it should be able to not only just identify, but give you tip messages and stuff. So if you're just idling, say you're waiting to pick a friend up and you're just in there with your engine on, it'll detect that and it'll tell you, maybe turn off your engine while you wait kind of thing. So it'll give you tip messages to kind of give you better driving tips and help improve your driving and thus improving your economy.
That's neat, yeah.
Or another example would be if you just turned on your car, maybe in the winter, since we're in Canada here,
Yeah.
Your car engine needs a bit of time to warm up. So if you're driving a bit aggressively in the morning when you just turn on your car and it's warming up, it will suggest that you take it easy for the next 10 minutes as your engine warms up, and it can detect that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? So driving when the engine is cold more aggressively is even bigger hit on fuel economy than when the engine's warmed up. Mm-hmm. So I guess I could almost use this application to compare and see when my son drives the car and I drive the car, we could see which one of us is getting better fuel economy, even on the same route, and from that perhaps learn better habits for our own driving.
That's exactly it, and you can add other friends as well and compete in leaderboards amongst each other.
Oh, so we can make this into a friendly competition. I can see some interesting times happening at the family table now. I think the loser has to pay to fill the next tank of gas.
You can also compete among cars, too, in the leaderboards. You can compete with each other, you know. If you're arguing who has more fuel-efficient car, you can kind of go by that, too. Look, put your cars side by side and see how you do in the leaderboards.
So not only can you compare the fuel efficiency of my own car ride to ride, I could compare, cars to someone else's. So, my one person's got a station wagon, another person's got a sedan, another one's got a pickup truck. We can actually all compare each other and see how much difference it makes between the different vehicles.
Yeah, and you can also compare that to what the manufacturer says you should be getting. So you compare it to what it says you should be getting for your miles per gallon. If you're beating that, then hey, that's good for
that's
you.
Great.
Oh, so I like that. So you're actually able to give me an indication of what I should be able to get from my vehicle. So I can really tell if it's me that's, or maybe my car needs maintenance, but I can actually tell if I'm getting out of my car what my car should be able to give me.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So that's a bit about what the project does, and that's fantastic. Curious, What technologies did you use to put this together? So you said the app itself is a universal Windows app. Mm-hmm. Can you describe a bit, like the experience when I step into the car, I turn on the ignition? What do I do? What does the app do?
We designed it so that you essentially don't have to do anything. We wanted to make it very simple. Like we said, it doesn't distract you at all. So once the adapter is plugged in, all you have to do is open the app, and the app will automatically connect to the adapter. So it connects via Bluetooth. So you just have to, the one thing you have to do is you have to pair them.
Originally.
Pair your phone.
Like you pair a phone to the car when you want to use it just for calls and so on. All right.
And it will remember paired connections. So you know when you're using it regularly, it should be you just get into your car, you plug in the adapter, and you just go. And it's meant to be used kind of like a GPS. You have it on a GPS mount. So you just put your phone there. And automatically, you don't have to press anything. It'll just connect, and then the screen will display, and then you'll get to see it as you drive. Yep. So it should be very simple to use. And like we said, it's able to look up your car online, so you don't even have to tell it what you're driving and stuff. It knows everything about your car down to the color of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you said you're more the mobile developer guy. Mm-hmm. So what did you use to build the app? What code, what programming language, tools?
So it's a universal Windows platform. And so that's done in Visual Studio 2015 with C#, and also using XAML. And it was a really great experience. Both of us coming into this didn't know anything.
No, yeah, this is new
about Windows development. And we thought, okay, how are we going to make a Windows app? But it was very surprising how quick and easy it was to pick up. Like I know a lot of how the app looks now was done in like the first 4 hours of me just looking up.
Right,
this big sample of tutorials done by Microsoft that we were looking at. And makes it very easy to quickly get a sleek design and stuff. And it was a great experience working in the Universal Windows platform.
Had you built other apps, mobile apps yourself before on other platforms?
On Android platforms,
okay. So this was your first time building a Windows app?
Yeah, and I found it much easier, to be honest.
It's always nice to hear. Actually, I love C#.
It's become a favorite for us as well.
I'm slowly being converted there.
All right. So the Windows app collects the data. Any other technologies behind the scenes of it that you had to use to make the magic happen?
Sure. Well, we have a backend running on Azure, and that powers the intelligence about your car. So when you plug your adapter into the car, it goes and it tells the backend what your VIN is for the car. That's the vehicle identification number. And that backend will then go and respond with detailed information about the car, as Scott said, even down to the color and the expected miles per gallon. It also handles social features, as we mentioned earlier, for competing with friends, et cetera.
So you've got the leaderboard. So it gives you. So you use the Azure on the back end, makes the connection to collect the data from you based on your VIN number. So you can give me my score against what my car should be able to perform, and so on. All right. And you said leaderboards are done through that as well. Mm-hmm. Is that a web service you've set up? Or,
yep, or an app service, yeah.
An app service, okay.
And that's, right, and that's written in Node.js.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how are you, you said something about routes, or what are you using behind the scenes, because that scenes for that, because obviously there's got to be something there for maps and GPSs and so on.
So we're using the Bing Maps API, and it's also not just for routes, but we have a map on the app too that you can see while you're driving that traces your route, and also traces, the trace behind you is the color of your score, so afterwards you can kind of see how you're doing in certain areas.
Oh.
But so that's all done with the Bing Maps API.
So you're actually displaying different colors on the route.
On the map as you're driving. And it follows you along, just sort of a bird's eye view overhead, so you can see. It's another sort of view. When you start the app, you can switch between four views with just a simple swipe using a pivot.
Yeah.
So we have one gauge. We have a gauge and a little bit of text, like your score so far for the trip averaged. And then we have another page with a chart over the last 30 seconds. And then finally another page with the map we just spoke about.
Yeah. It's just all an easy swipe through, so it's not something distracting.
Yeah, you won't be fiddling with it.
Yeah.
Nice. When you were building this, anytime a coder tackles something, I mean, you guys are in computer science, you've written code before, there's always something that you start building going, this shouldn't be difficult, and you go, oh my gosh, this turned out to be way harder than I thought. Was there a point in this project where you hit something that you thought should take you 2 hours, it took you 20, or it took you 40 instead of 10?
Definitely. But it wasn't mostly with the development. It was mostly with the science behind an engine. I had to learn a lot about cars that I wasn't expecting to. Most cars, especially older ones, don't know how much fuel they're consuming. You actually have to figure that out based on the airflow into the engine, atmospheric pressure, the energy in the fuel, etc. So that actually took probably the most work that we didn't expect.
So just purely having to do research on cars, fuel efficiency, what the factors are. So that was actually what took the most time, not the technical building.
Because when we talked about it, we more just talked about, oh, we'll just get this information from the car and, you know, make the app. But getting the information from it was actually, you know, and creating something with that information was actually the challenging part compared. The development was more of a smooth process most of the time.
That's always nice. That's, you know, all too rare. Yeah. Sometimes when you get to build things from scratch, sometimes that is nice. You know, you decide how you want to work. Was there a technology you worked with when you were building this that was easier than you expected? You were prepared for a battle, and then you went, oh, that actually wasn't too hard.
Definitely. The biggest one, which in my experience, was Win2D. We use a library called Win2D to generate all of the graphics. And it is fairly low level, but my experience with rendering before has been very complicated. Textures, vectors, very complicated. This was actually a real breeze. It has great primitives for circles, arcs, shading, and it made it very quick to come up with a graph. In fact, that was actually one of the first things we did because it was so easy, which was not what we were expecting at all.
For the gauge, we thought, you know, how on earth are we going to make a gauge? Like, we can't do animations or graphics, but it was very simple and quick. It was just essentially drawing an arc and painting it in, and we were very, you know, able to move on and focus on other stuff. So, it was great.
When you were trying to learn how to do something like that Win2D for the first time, did you find any good resources that sort of helped you get started? Like, did you find a good web page, somebody's blog? What helped you? How'd you figure it out?
Well, there are a couple ones. I did not specifically to Win2D, but.
Sure.
With working with the Universal platform, there was LearnVisualStudio.net had a ton of videos by a guy named Bob. Shout out to him because he was great.
Is that Bob Tabor?
Yes.
He does some great videos.
And then there's Microsoft had on GitHub a whole repository of just sample Universal apps.
And that's where we also got documentation for Win2D was some samples as well.
Okay.
So it was really nice when we were going through kind of the Microsoft Developer Network, looking, you know, how to do something. They'd always have a link to a GitHub that we could go and look, and we'd see a sample app, and it'd be like, okay, wow, that's actually really easy to do. So I felt like the whole way we had, you know, there was always support to questions we had. So it's really well documented.
And I mean, you say it was helpful to have the samples on something like GitHub. I don't know about you, but the life of a coder, copy and paste is like, saves all of us. We all love copy and paste in the world of coding, so it is nice to have code examples you can go to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So glad you were able to find those. Next question. Looking back at this project, in terms of what you achieved in creating it and the technical stuff, what's one thing you look at and go, I am really proud of that little piece. Now, it may be something that's really tiny and geeky behind the scenes that no one else knows is there except for you guys, but what's the, and maybe different for each of you, what's the one thing you look at this project and go, that, I am so proud of that little piece there?
For me, it's the real-time feedback that we have, because going into it, we didn't really know what to expect for that. You know, when you're getting a score as you drive, we didn't know if it'd be laggy, if it would make sense to, you know, we were all worried about that, concerned about it. But it's really cool, especially the first time when we kind of put it together, because I'd been working on the app and he had been working on the car part. And to see the car react to how you drive and see it really, you know, it makes sense as you see your score change. I think that was really cool to see that, you know, this is really, you know, you can see it real time, and you can see as you go on the highway or as you do something, you can see it reflecting your actions. So I think that was the coolest, just to sit there and watch it. And it felt, you know, it felt innovative. It felt like, I think, you know, this is really cool. Wow.
The first time we got it to work, we turned on the car and it started to work. We just got in and drove for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
We
took it on the highway.
So cool.
We took it off the highway.
Did you find yourself driving around trying different things just to see how the app would score it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where did you get the worst scores?
Traffic.
Yeah.
I think as expected.
Yeah.
Traffic is the worst. Mm-hmm. Obviously, accelerating onto a highway.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, get right up to speed right away. But if it's maybe not too busy, take your time.
Yeah.
Interesting. Has it actually changed your driving habits? Has building this and trying to build an app that'll help other people improve the economy, have you actually noticed yourself changing behavior?
It changes my habits when I'm using the app.
Yeah.
When I'm not using the app, which is less and less these days, my habits seem to revert, so maybe I'll have to spend a bit more time with it.
Yeah, it's something weird about seeing a score there and seeing, you know, you're being rated there, that you want to do well. When it's not there, you don't really think about it. You're just driving. And that's, you know, before I didn't care at all. But when you see it and you see, oh, this is giving me a low score, there's just something instinctive where it's just like, I want to perform better.
Well,
and so you start generally correcting how you drive, kind of thing.
Well, it's funny, you know, it's like all these fitness watches that everybody's wearing now. You know, we all walk a certain number of steps, but oddly, when people have a band of some sort, like, you know, you're wearing something like a Microsoft band that says you've walked this many steps, you're like, oh, well, I've only done 7,000 steps today. I should make an effort to walk more.
Yeah.
You're right. That awareness, when it's in your face and you're aware of when you're not doing what you should be, it's true. It's a reminder to you, because it's all too easy to just fall back into old habits.
Yeah.
So as long as you get in the habit of using the app regularly, you really noticed that
that's the idea.
You became more aware of it.
And that's a good way of thinking of it, too, Fitbit for your car.
Yeah.
I think that's somewhere we'd like to go.
I prefer to have a Microsoft band for my car, but I'm picky that way. So where did you get the idea for Fuel Eco?
I think just it was in the fall, around October time. We're driving, Will had his dad's Prius, and I had the new, and all, some of the new cars have it, the fuel efficient gauge in it, or some will have it on their screen. And we thought, oh, that's pretty neat, but it didn't really make sense to us. It didn't really say anything.
It provided a score also in liters per 100 kilometer, which is a standardized unit, but it makes sense over a long distance. It makes sense to average when you're using that unit. It doesn't really give a good score instantaneously as you're driving. It tends to spiral up to infinity when you stop and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not very easy to understand.
Yeah, I actually have that feature on my car, and it's true. I look at it and I go, oh, look, it went up and it went down again, but I don't know what I should be targeting for and what's a reasonable value. So it doesn't change my habits just because I have that number displayed on my screen.
Thought they're kind of ineffective, a lot of them right now. And also, we just kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool if you had it on your phone? And then we kind of thought more like, oh, well, you could, you know, keep history of it and compare it and stuff. So then we kind of just started talking about it and looked into, you know, the technology behind it using the adapter and such, and that was it. We thought, you know what, let's try it. Let's see if we can make a neater version of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to mention about the project, you know, either in terms of, you said, interesting things you did with the technology, in terms of how you built it?
I don't think I've answered
covered all the big things that you guys want to hit.
So, I say so.
Yeah,
so we're looking to launch by the end of this summer. It's just about ready, actually. We'll just have to make sure that it will scale well to hopefully thousands of users.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start rolling out additional insights throughout end of 2017 sort of time frame.
So what would be your plan B on how you would take this to the public? Like, how would someone like myself, you know, be able to get a hold of something like this and use this? What would a consumer get a hold of Fuel Eco?
So once, by, like we said, the end of August, we hope to have the Windows version out and going on the Windows Store.
And then you'll just need to go and buy an adapter like
what
this
are these?
One right here.
And how much does an adapter like this cost?
It starts at about $6. It goes up to about $20. I'm sure you could spend more on it if you'd like.
Yeah.
And they're available just on Amazon and other online retailers.
Okay.
And they're all actually, they're not made by a Canadian company, but there's a chip inside all of them that's made by a Canadian company out in, I think, Saskatchewan.
All right, so we also get support of the Canadian economy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So literally all I'd have to do is order one of these devices online.
Yeah.
And download the app once it's in the store,
and
that's all I need?
All you do is you plug it in, you pair it the first time, and our app will help you do that. And that's it. It'll immediately pop up with your car and start creating personalized goals for you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing you guys have this on Azure, because you mentioned maybe having thousands of users on it. I mean, you could easily go up to 100,000 users on this with no difficulty. If you've got all the analysis on the back end, you'll be able to scale it.
Exactly.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Oh. Really appreciate it. Will, great work and congratulations.
You.
Scott.
Thank you.
Great work, congratulations. Team Fuel Eco, amazing work by these students from Queens. And I think I may need a new app on my phone. Okay. So I was curious, so I had to bring this down and actually put it in my car to see how it worked. Sure enough, the adapter just fits in right down here by the accelerator for the car beside the brake pedal. And as soon as I turned it on, I started seeing the lights popping up to give me some visualizations. And what's neat is, so can you just sort of show me here? Apparently this is actually giving me some of the information that's actually coming from my own sensor.
Yeah.
So I can actually start seeing some of the information right away from my car. So it really is plug and play in terms of using it. Once you've got the app installed, you have that device, connect it with the Bluetooth, and you're off and running. And already I'll be able to get a hold of data.